When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Morning Glory host Matty Johns. Hey Matty.
Hey Joel.
How's your Anzac Day going so far?
Mate, it's early morning to get up with the family, the boys. It's been okay. It's a hell of a day out there, but I tell you what, a lot of people out and about it. You know, the Anzac Day. I was telling my boys and Michelle, you back this up. It was. I'm trying to actually work out. In the 80s, Anzac Day, I won't go so far as to say it didn't disappear, but it really dropped off the radar. Like very few people, you know, certainly around my area marched. And I don't know, Michelle, when it was since it's made such an amazing resurgence and why it dropped off in the first place. Yeah. I don't know whether it was a rebound off the Vietnam War or whatever, but at the moment it's just outstanding the way we celebrate it.
And now it's just a given. It's we're doing this. It's not like, are you? And it's, I love that. I mean, this morning I went back to the Central Coast, back to Mum's, and it was 2 Clear RSL and, you know, obviously catching up with a whole lot of people, but just the way they take it so seriously and the opportunity we have to explain to our kids what this is all about. And now our kids are explaining to their kids, feeling a bit old.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And there's a great Anzac song and the band played Waltzing Matilda. And I'm trying to get the words exactly right. But, you know, at the end of that, it's quite sad. It says, you know, the young people say, you know, what are they marching for? And that was a song written in the early 80s, which I think was a real wake up call to how it was, the diminishing of that remembrance. But That has certainly changed, and there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of, you get a lot of people that, a lot of palookas that are out there saying, "Oh, it's disgusting. It's a celebration of war." Well, it's not a celebration.
No, not at all. Educate yourself. I tell you what, can I just say, I also love the way this is one thing. You know, we get bagged in rugby league for a lot of things. Rugby league do this well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible. And it's a fine line, isn't it? Treading that line of with the remembrance and keeping respect and not trying to compare sport to war, all those things. It's a tricky one, but the sport in Australia, the AFL, do it very well as well.
You know what? Earlier today, we saw with the Warriors and the Titans the ceremony there, which we're not used to, and it's about bloody time we had a game in New Zealand. It's Australian New Zealand Army Corps. We should have a game every single year there. I can't believe we've missed that, but I love the origination of the term mate. And you hear about this through wartime. It originated in the war, and it was a commitment to your mate, meet at the end. And that's how the term mate come up. And I think that's a very special term, which most Australians won't know, and we should. And I've said it a few times this week already. Very, very sad news this week, Matty. You know, a bloke you played with at representative level, Australia, New South Wales. And, I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of players you played with or have met over the years, but he was a rare gem, wasn't he, Terry Hill?
Oh boy, yeah. I mean, you played alongside him quite a bit, Joel. It was funny. Like Terry is such a charismatic guy. He the first few years, like Newcastle and Manly were such arch rivals, despised rivals, that I didn't have a lot to do with Terry. It wasn't until I went into representative camps that I got to know him and become myself and Andrew become really great mates with Tez. And I won't tell, I won't tell the story. I'll have a think about it because it's just coming to me.
I've got a thousand of those too.
But I'll say this, and certainly not a borderline story or anything like that, is that I'll never ever forget in one camp, one of the things he did for Andrew and I, which I will never forget. I think, that he defended us. It was, something that went on and, I don't want to allude too much into it. I'll have a think about it, see if I do it tomorrow and how I do it. But, mate, he was, for me, that really summed up Terry. There was a bloke basically having a shot at myself and Andrew and things started to get a little bit, not out of hand. It was just, you know, it was our first rep camp, and it was a little bit humiliating, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, everyone didn't know exactly what to do. This was sort of getting a bit weird. And anyway, Terry stepped in and grabbed his player and said to him, mate, if you say another word to those two blokes, what you've been doing, I'm going to drag you outside the restaurant and give you a flogging.
Wow.
He was a real mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, and mate, every now and then, you know, I'd ring, probably once a year, I'd ring Tez up and say, mate, still haven't forgot what you did that time for myself and Andrew. And it was really, really sad. I tell you what, man, we're losing a lot of good ones of late.
I tell you what, try being a junior reporter and interviewing him way back then.
Oh, yeah.
and it was only to, I grew up fortunate enough to obviously grow up with Kyle White as well, and he's obviously left us as well. And when you do talk about those things, hate to be the party pooper, but guys, we need to get checked. You know, please, heart attack, whatever, go and get yourself sorted, because it's terrible. Like, there you go. There's two young, well, you'd say young blokes.
Well, Kyle
White.
Are. These days,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, Tezza, gone.
Hey, Matty. Big retirement this week, and this bloke, I'd love to know a bloke who you played with. I've got an idea who it may be that you would liken Dale Finucane to, but he retires, he's forced into retirement due to concussion. But what a career for Dale, and who was the player that you think was the closest thing you've seen to Dale?
Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Harrigan, and Chief had to pull pin on his career early. I remember when he did it, you know, we were saying to Chief, he was agonising over it. We played the Rabbitohs one day at the Sydney Football Stadium, and we finished the game, came off the field, and he grabbed me and said, "Chimpy, I'm done. I'm quitting immediately." And I said to Chief, I said, "Mate, good on you. There's nothing more you have to do." And I would say the same thing to Dale, is that, you know, he's got nothing more to prove to anybody. I mean, Craig Bellamy openly says who's his favourite player, Dale Finucane. He's probably the only guy that Belly Ag got emotional about when he left the club. And he said, what did you say recently, Craig? I just do. He said, which I think, I mean, it doesn't get any higher praise than this. He said, Dale Finucane did more for this club than the club did for Dale.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty full on.
Amazing. I worked out that he basically won every season he played. He basically won every. Right. He had that influence, and I use the term all the time. You know, all ships rise with the tide.
Yeah.
Sharks finished second the immediate moment he turns up, and it's because of what he got out of everyone else. An amazing player.
Matty, I was actually saying to Joel off air that when he first came to the Sharks, 2022, it was just after the preseason in the week leading up to round one, and got to interview a lot of the players, and it was an immediate impact. He'd had an influence on every one of those young boys, and it's no coincidence now where the Sharks are.
You know, and that's right. You know, sometimes there's a fantastic movie which very few people have seen. And I think I've tipped you before, Joel, about seeing it. It's a movie called The Damned United. And it was about the great Brian Clough and Peter Taylor, and how in English soccer, and how they basically they went to Derby County and took them from the third division up to a Champions League final. And all the way through, it was that and their disastrous spell at Leeds United. But the thing I'm getting at here, it's an amazing movie about how to build a squad and how to get the best out of your team. And there's a scene in the movie with Derby County where they're still in the second division. They're thinking, how do we get to the next level? And Peter Taylor, who was a great scout for Brian Clough, said, mate, I reckon we should get this old Scottish bloke. You know, he's playing down in London. He's not getting a lot of time. He said, Jesus Christ, he said, Peter. He said, the bloke's in his mid-30s. He said, whatever he gives us on the pitch will be a bonus. It's what he's going to teach the kids off. And he did. And that's exactly what they bought Dale. That's why Fitzy got Dale there. To teach him how to train, to teach him how to be pros, to teach him how to play tough. And on top of all that, mate, he's just a really... there's certain blokes in the game that you meet along the way that are an anomaly. And what I mean by that is, on the field, they are ruthless and they are so tough. Off the field, they are the ultimate gentlemen. And two of them, I think, off in the past are Johnny Sattler and Malcolm Reilly.
Yep.
And day one is Dale Finucane.
Wow. And the chief, who you mentioned. What about, you mentioned the name Peter Taylor, Matty. And a different Peter Taylor, but Peter Taylor was a flamboyant spin bowler for Australia. Remember that run-up that he'd have, Peter Taylor? Well, he hails from a little town called Moree in New South Wales. Now, from Moree, you've got the likes of Ewan McGrady, Matt Ryan, in recent times, Tyrone Munro. But now this young kid, David Armstrong, the fullback for the Newcastle Knights. Now, everyone's writing off the Newcastle Knights with Caelan Ponga. I tell you what, Matty, I refuse to write off anyone who's come from Moree. What do you think?
He is a very, very good player. I tell you the impact he had last year. Dave went to the Knights and suffered an ACL injury. Missed almost 12 months. The New South Wales Cup team in Newcastle were having a bludger of a year. They were, you know, probably second from the bottom. Armstrong comes back. Dave comes back from an ACL injury. And I'd never seen him. I remember I was sitting in the lounge with Trish watching the New South Wales Cup, and his first touch of the ball, I said, Jesus, this place could be something. He's likely. And then, mate, he transformed his side. They went on a run. They won a heap of games in a row, beating all the very top teams. And he was the difference. Him coming into that football side just made such an enormous difference. This is a big, big step up. There's no doubt about that. But I'm just, you know, regardless if they win or wins or losses or whatever, I'm just really happy for him. I hear he's a terrific young bloke. And as you said before, mate, Moree, boy, oh boy, oh boy. The players that come out of Moree. When you talk about hot spots in the world as far as foot rugby league is concerned, it's one of them.
Hey, just before we go, Matty, I want to play this backstage, and you've had some big names, but this was a powerful interview. Let's have a listen to this.
The main one is the one when I came out, you know. I came out on the front page of the paper in 2013. I thought it was going to solve everything, but it didn't. It didn't at all. Like, it just... Then I had to come to terms with it myself, my own homophobia and what it meant to be gay, and do I have to go and fit into Oxford Street, and how am I going to tell... The big thing was telling my dad.
How's your dad?
Oh, I'll probably cry saying this. He was the last I told, and I will cry. And he, and I was in a bad way, and I called him, and he was working in Sydney, and he came around, he sat down, he goes, "What is it? What is it?" He thought I'd killed somebody, and I said, "Dad, I'm gay." And he goes, "Is that it? Is that why you've been off the rails for the last 2 years?" Graham, he said, "Mate, I don't care that you're gay. All I care is that you're my son. I love you." And we like hugged each other and cried. And he goes, "Have you got any beer in the fridge?" I said, "Yeah, I do." I went out and I brought out two Coronas. He goes, "You are fucking..."
what a chat, Matty. What a chat.
That was gold.
Well done, mate.
Great guy.
Love Webby.
Great guy, Webby.
Really good guy.
He's a great fella. And you know the good thing about this, and as you guys know, like, as far as palookas that are out there and social media and whatnot, is that, you know, Jack, who runs the backstage, he does all the production and everything like that. And Jack said, I said to Jack, because, you know, you can put anyone on social media. I could interview Jesus Christ tomorrow.
Yep.
And a person could come out there.
You're that good?
Start swinging it. He'd come at Jesus and they'd say, "Mate, that bloke in the sandals, I wish he'd come back where he came from." So I said to Jack, I said, just keep abreast, you know, of, you know, because you'll get imbeciles on there. And Jack came back to me and said, "Mate, there has not been one negative comment."
No, should
he said,
there be.
"Everyone." No, no.
Get a life.
And you know what? There should absolutely not be. But Jack said, "Yeah, I'll just keep abreast of it," because you just, you know, you don't know. As I said before, people like to have a shot at people, but not one out of the many, many, so many responses, not one. Everyone just huge support. And I think that's where we're at as a game. It was really good. It made me really proud.
Maddie, well, that's where it probably all went wrong for me, a Corona, a beer. Because when my sister came out, I was just desperate going, "Well, I'm not going to get a brother-in-law." So perhaps it was the Corona or the beer that I needed to settle me.
Webby's been a great mate for a long time. We first met after the 97 grand final. He was a junior reporter for the Maitland Mercury. And we bonded. We were sitting outside the Oriental Hotel in Mayfield, drinking beer in a gutter when he was interviewing.
Nice. Classy stuff.
He wanted to interview Andrew. He said, "Hey, Joey." And Joey turned to him and said, "Just make the quotes up."
Oh, yes. Hey, Matty, enjoy the rest of Anzac Day. I know you've got the show coming up later tonight and Morning Glory tomorrow. A really quick tip for the game tonight. We're calling on SEN League. South Sydney taking on the Melbourne Storm. Is it a Melbourne Storm carve-up or off the bye? Cody Walker, the incumbent man of the match for Origin, does he stand up and lead Bunnies to their first ever win down there?
I think it'll be tight. I think Melbourne still look to me like they're vulnerable on the edges. On that left edge, I just want to see Cody get away from the block formations. If he can play a sort of flat, sheer shape, pass long or hit short, I think he'll have a lot of luck there.
Matty Johns, thank you, mate. Good to chat. Matty. We'll catch you soon.
Good on you, Joel. Thanks, Michelle.